Welcome to season two of Tell Me Something Good About Retail. I'm your host, Bob Fibbs, the Retail Doctor. You can find out more about me by going to retaildoc.com, where you'll find out I'm one of the foremost experts on brick and mortar retailing. Every week, I invite guests, vendors, and brick and mortar retailers to share their successes and their innovations to make the shopping experience fun. I believe we can change the world by those who are working in shopping and retail, so let's get to our first guest. Today's guest is Kevin Harwood, VP of Technology from Outer Voices. He talks about coming from a background in the agency world where he worked with Nike and Under Armour and how meeting Tyler Haney meant he had to go for a run. I know you'll enjoy this podcast. And welcome Kevin Harwood, VP of Technology for Outdoor Voices.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good. So tell our audience here, who are you and what do you have to do with retail?
Yeah, so my name is Kevin Harwood. I am the VP of Technology at Outdoor Voices, and we're an activewear brand that is on a mission to get the world moving. Our company slogan, Doing Things. We believe in getting people out, moving, having fun with friends, and just enjoying life. And we want to make some great apparel to, you know, encourage people to do that.
Now, did I see that you guys just moved to Austin?
So we moved quarters from New York City to Austin, Texas, probably, I guess it's been about 12 months now. Since we made that official. Most of our team's been moving down over the course of the last year. And now we operate essentially an entire block now over in East Austin. We keep expanding into more and more buildings. So we're slowly taking over part of the city here in East Austin.
Wow. Well, so how did you get started in retail?
That is a great question. So in my past, I worked at an agency and ended up doing a lot of work for Nike and Under Armour, and did both some consumer-facing applications for Nike and Under Armour, as well as some enterprise applications for the retail associates in those brick-and-mortar stores, and ended up meeting Ty, who's the founder of Outdoor Voices, Tyler Haney. I met her probably about two and a half years ago, and she asked me to stop working for an agency and come do this for her brand. So I left the agency world and transitioned over to OV full time, and have been running, you know, the technology and engineering team for the last 2 years here now.
Well, that is so cool. I found Kevin on a panel with Tony Drockton, who was my first podcast guest about a year ago, and I didn't realize that Kevin was standing in front of me this last week, and I was like, wait a minute, you're the guy, because you had this unbelievable promotion that you had come up with that because you are an activewear brand, you didn't release your catalog in a traditional way. Can you explain how that played out?
Yeah, so my background is in mobile technology, so I'm always looking for ways to, you know, maybe build a cool app or just build a cool experience for our customers. And we had a running collection launch last year where we wanted to launch it in a different way, try to make a splash with the product. The product was great, but also wanted to come up with some sort of, you know, technology approach to encompass the Doing Things brand. And release the product in a big splashy way. And so what we did was we created an augmented reality. We called it the Trail Shop. And it's essentially a geofence kind of Pokemon Go type approach where you have to go to a specific part of the city. And when you get there, an augmented reality store is then presented to you. And you can walk around, you can view the products, you can interact with them. It's a really cool experience. But we launched that in 50 cities across the country, and put, you know, known active places in those cities to encourage people to get out on the trail, get out to a soccer field, just go somewhere we can get out and be active. And we exclusively launched the collection for 72 hours in that experience. So it was a great way to blend technology and customer experience with the brand all in one.
Well, I love the way that you guys just come for a run with this.
That's exactly right. You know, we're low touch. You know, we're not trying to, you know, run a marathon in record time. We're just trying to get out, be active and have fun and just kind of free performance from fitness. You know, trying to build some technology solutions to help enable that.
Now, had you ever built an AR app before? That just sounds like shooting to the moon with NASA and the Kasperi project, whatever, the Saturn, right?
Yeah, and I actually have built some AR apps before. And in fact, my mobile career now dates back 10 years, which is all the way back to the original iPhone. And one of my very first projects was actually for the National Park Service. And we created an augmented reality application where you could walk around a national park, pull your phone up, and then it would have directional markers all in front of you in terms of like what are the things you're actually looking at the national park. So we definitely dusted off some of my old AR skills and, you know, really started to push that forward. And that's really coming back over the last 2 years. Both Apple and Android are, you know, significantly invested in AR technology and trying to, you know, bring that forward for the consumer.
Yeah, well, I was so impressed. I downloaded the app and I still have the app. And so whenever I land in New York, it like the first thing it does is comes up is like, hey, you're near an OV store.
That's exactly right.
And I was like, damn it, get my again.
Yeah, and honestly, those type experiences are pretty easy to build now with the tools that Apple and Google provide. You know, we're not doing any, you know, server side location tracking or anything like that. That's just built into the device, and you're able to set up some geofences for local notifications when you enter some of those markets. So, you know, those platforms make it easy to start to build some of those experiences.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you're the technology guy. So what's been your biggest challenge in the last 3 years and how'd you overcome it?
That is a great question. When I first started, OV was a couple of years into their journey from when they first started. And the tools that we had in place that we were running the business on were extremely basic and extremely simple. All of our operational logistics platform that we were running on it wasn't great. And so from the day I started, we immediately knew that we needed to get to something more enterprise driven for just the growth and where the company was going. And so I had this period of time for at least probably 6 months where we were having to almost, you know, firefight daily the existing system and keep it together and don't fall over while also planning and, you know, starting to create the integrations for the systems that we were moving to and, you know, supporting both of those initiatives in parallel. So that was definitely a challenging time, but we are well past that now. We've got some great foundational systems in place that have really allowed us to grow over the last 24 months.
Well, think if you could just unpack that for a minute, the listeners, you know, that's not that uncommon that you are pushing the old system and knowing like, you know, something out of Star Trek, the wounded Enterprise has got to keep going.
That's exactly right.
Right. But there's that new Excelsior that's just waiting to go. And you're like, yeah, but we can't go there. Stay patching this together. So is there any tips that you could share? I mean, how do you prioritize that? And you just let things fall off of the first version and say, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better to the crew? Or do you say, no, it has to keep operating, or anything along the lines would be helpful?
Yeah, I think where we started was let's try to not let it get worse before it gets better. Can we just like keep it bolted together and keep going until the new systems are there? But even then, we had to take a kind of bigger look at the business, and there's plenty of things that you can do from a technology perspective. There's your ERP, your commerce platform, your PIM tools, your PLM tools, your POS system. You know, there's all kinds of different things out there that can, you know, be upgraded or just worked on. And so we had to take kind of a holistic look at our business and say, okay, where are we going to fail first from a technology perspective? And, you know, rated those systems, identified the one that was without a doubt the biggest problem, and that's what we focused on first. And then once that was in place and up and running, we went to number two on the list. And now we're essentially, you know, 2.5 years in, we're at number five on that list. You know, we're working our way down slowly but surely. You know, you definitely have to take a kind of gut check moment and say, you know, where are we going to fall down first? Let's focus on getting that fixed.
Yeah. And I would think that's got to be on your website, wouldn't it be? Some on your server that's not able for the traffic. Is that typically it or?
Well, it totally depends. And actually, our website runs off of Shopify, and Shopify has fantastic infrastructure. They are a massive business, and our business is certainly, not a large portion of their business. They do, tens of billions of dollars a year on that platform. And so we really don't have a traffic problem with Shopify. Now, we're certainly one of Shopify's bigger customers, so our problems are more on just the number of SKUs we have and how we manage our actual product master in the system and just finding ways to push that system in different ways. But overall, that's not really one of our weakest points. Our biggest problem when I first started was in our ERP system, and the tools we had there were just not ready and not capable of supporting a business of our size and even a business of the size where we were going. That's the big thing that kept me up at night when I first started. But since then, we've definitely cleared that hurdle.
So now you're sleeping. That's good to know.
That's great. Yep. Now I'm sleeping, and my kids are older. It's great. I'm actually sleeping. So that's fantastic.
Nice. So what's the best advice you've ever gotten? Could be about anything.
There's a phrase we have here, which is "Don't waste a good crisis." Which is, things are going to happen. Things are going to go sideways. You're going to need to pull a rabbit out of your hat sometimes and make magic happen. But also don't be scared of a crisis, and make sure that, when all said and done, you've learned from it, you've improved, and you've set a plan in place for that not to happen again. You can really have some great growth moments, personally and just from an infrastructure perspective during those crises. And embracing those and bouncing off of them is a way to keep everything moving forward.
Nice. What's one of the best most worthwhile investment you've ever made, you personally?
So personally, I would say there was this moment, I guess it was probably 11 or 12 years ago now, where I was an engineer for a company here in town. The iPhone had actually just been released by Apple, and I was all about it. I was so stoked. I was so excited about it. I was spending my nights and weekends just pouring into what's possible with it and just learning how to program for it and really just thinking about it nonstop and just investing all of my personal time and trying to be an expert on that platform. And the company I was working for didn't really share my vision that the iPhone and mobile in general was going to be a big thing. This was still back when everyone thought the iPhone was too expensive. Normal people wouldn't have it. There's no physical keyboard. An edge connection phone is too slow. Like every excuse in the book for why this was never going to be a big thing. But I just felt differently and just continued to invest my time in becoming an expert on that platform. And shortly after, maybe a year after the iPhone came out, I actually decided to leave my job and go work for a small agency that was just starting to do mobile consulting. And the choice I made there to invest my time really put me in the right time, at the right spot, at the right technology, at the right platform to just, really get an opportunity to work with some of the biggest companies in the world on their mobile strategy. And that just, slingshot me to where I'm at today. So making that decision to just, pour all my personal time into those projects really paid off dividends for over the course of my entire career.
Nice. So how did you get your Sybil the Soothsayer moment there, man? Because I was the first adopter of an iPhone too. And I, of course, got the 10, and, money's no object. So just keep throwing it at this damn instrument. But what was it that you saw? I mean, did you see that the game changer really became that we held it in our hand instead of having to go physically to a laptop or something?
Yeah, even that. And I like to tell the story. So my degree, it's even crazy. My degree was in wireless software engineering, which is like an extremely niche degree. And this was back in 2003, 2004, early 2000s. And I was doing things like working on BlackBerry and Palm and J2ME. And, I was always excited about mobile technology, but none of those were ever really mainstream. Those were all enterprise, business people would use it to check their email. They really hadn't crossed over into the customer segment yet. And then when Jobs unveiled the iPhone, it was just a light bulb. Like, this is obviously the future. Like, this is where it's going to be. And just the fact that I already spent a lot of time in that industry and just seeing just how customer focused that iPhone was, it was, I mean, it was a no brainer from literally the second he pulled it out of his pocket, from my perspective.
Wow.
So
okay.
I had just been positioned at these right moments along the way to see that coming.
Yeah. Well, your background there in mobile, you know, you've alluded to, like, you know, back when before mobile, and it's kind of like, what was that? The dark ages when we were watching black and white movies. I mean,
exactly.
But you know, how has the way that you've thought about retail changed in the past few years? I mean, certainly the technology has changed. What do you think is, you know, where are we going, or what do you think the changes have become?
Yeah, that's a great question. And mobile is such an important part of that. You've got brands that are, you know, making mobile commerce experiences for, you know, all of our commerce channels. And, you know, I sometimes really struggle if the question is just, hey, I'm going to make a mobile shopping app that's like my mobile website. I don't think there's a lot of value necessarily for the customer to, you know, download that app and actually spend the time keeping that on their phone. And so you've really got to, you know, carve out a strategy for what other value are you going to provide to the customer besides just shopping. You know, my time at Under Armour, we spent a lot of time really thinking about personalization. We're doing that here at OV as well. And then we're also thinking about just the doing things community in general. How can we, you know, leverage the fact that we're right there in somebody's pocket to encourage them to get out and be active you know, just live life and enjoy it. So you've got to think more than just selling. You've got to actually think about the overall community and customer experience that they're having with your brand. And it's got to be an actual value proposition. It can't be just, you know, a transactional relationship. And that's, you know, the type of strategy that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, well, that's a good point too, because just a few years ago, it was about, we were going to build an app, right? They just build an app and they'll all download it. And then everyone's like, I don't need any more apps.
You're exactly right.
Right.
You've got to crack the value nut. And that's a hard thing to actually understand. How am I going to provide value to this customer outside of just giving them, you know, something great to wear? It's, you know, and it's different per brand. And I think luckily at OV, we've got a really strong overall brand mission that translates that really nicely. And something like Trail Shop just makes sense in terms of, you know, encouraging activity.
It's funny, when I was reading about Outer Voices when I got home, when I first met you, and was reading about the move and everything. And then I got a follow up about how when you moved to Austin, the CEO was like, once you're all moved in, okay, let's go for a run.
And that's exactly
how many other brands do that?
Literally my first day at OV, we had like an executive on-site, and the following morning at 6 a.m., we were all expected to meet up for a quick jog around the park here in Austin. Definitely jumped right into the deep end from a brand perspective, right from my first day.
Yeah, and that's not exactly the way we think of most of the technology guys embracing, I don't think.
I held my own. Yeah, I don't think I didn't finish last. That's what I was shooting for.
You didn't embarrass yourself. That's always
exactly
a good thing.
Yep.
Well, I know we're coming to the end of our time here. When you feel overwhelmed or something, or maybe you lost your focus, because I imagine you are so deep into the weeds of all of this. What do you do to kind of bring back? I mean, and don't just say you go for a run because of OV. But I mean, what do you do? Because it's such minutia you're working into, right? And you're so analytical in looking at this goes to here and looking at cause and effect. But at some point you have to just pull out of that, I would think.
Yeah. And, you know, luckily we've built a really strong team here at OV, and I've got some really solid, you know, technical engineers on my team that allow me to delegate and get into the problem deeply with them and get them moving. And then I can hop out and get on to the next problem. Like building a strong team, having confidence in that team. And then also, I think I saw this recently, like hire smart people. Don't tell them what to do. That's why you hire them, and because they're smart. Just relying on just solid people on your team to get the job done has really prevented me from, I think, getting stuck in some of those ruts.
Great point.
I can't stress enough the value of having a great tight-knit team right around you.
Couldn't say it better. And tell me something good about retail, since that's the name of my podcast.
You know, that's, I was thinking about this. Retail has like just ingrained so deeply into just everyday consumer life now. You think about obviously Amazon and how easy it is to get anything you want within, you know, 2 days or, you know, sometimes even the same day now in some markets. And they've really set the bar for all the other retail companies out there. And we're chasing them. You know, we're expected to be able to match the same level of convenience, the same level of like omni-channel. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. It's going to get to them. Just like how easy retail has made it to be a consumer in today's age, I think doesn't get talked about enough. But no one could live without it. And it's, you know, really just over the last decade has completely transformed how consumers expect to obtain things now. Yeah. I think it's been a positive overall in terms of ease of convenience in your life.
Excellent. Well, I really like that. Well, how can they find out more about OV? And we should be saying it's Outdoor Voices just because
that's right.
I'm using this lingo. I don't want anyone to miss it. But how would they find out more about your brand?
Yeah, so obviously outdoorvoices.com is our website. We've also got 9 stores now, I think, out of last count. We're in Austin, Dallas, New York, LA, San Francisco, Chicago, Boston, DC, and Nashville, and at least, you know, probably 8 to 9 more stores coming later this year. So we're rapidly growing our retail footprint as well.
Perfect. And I was going to ask if they downloaded your app, is there any of the virtual reality still turned on, or is that only if the product launches?
So we don't have anything turned on at the moment, but definitely stay tuned. We have more product launches planned this year and other things that we're planning on that front. So cool. More to come.
Cool. Well, that's very fun. We've been gracious with your time today, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, man.
All right. Talk soon. Bye.
That brings us to the close of another episode of Tell Me Something Good About Retail. I'm Bob Fibbs, your host, known as the Retail Doctor, based in the United States. Tune in next week when we have another set of movers, shakers, influencers, vendors, and brick-and-mortar retailers, all there to make you a smarter retailer.